And we're starting at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And then from verse 19. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing.
Thanks very much for reading. Keep your place there in John chapter 1. And so keep your place there. And then flip to the very back of the book to chapter 20. And page 1093, if you've got the smaller version of the Church Bibles. It'll be a different page number if you've got one of the larger, newer Bibles. John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31 says this: "Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's John's aim for his book. And then if you flip back to John chapter 8, halfway through the book, and page 1078 in one of the smaller versions of the Church Bibles. I don't know what number it is in the larger black Bible, but chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said this: "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So let me pray with those two fabulous statements in mind. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for John who wrote this book. We thank you for the careful way which you recorded everything in it so that we could read it and truly believe that Jesus is your Son and that by believing in him we would have life. Thank you as well for Jesus' clear statement to be the light of the world. And we pray as we look at this book now, as we listen to what you have to say to us through it, we pray that we won't walk in the darkness anymore, but the light of Jesus would shine and that we would find that we are walking in the light and in a way of truth. So please open our eyes, open our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come back to John chapter 1 and draw our attention really to some very simple, straightforward, and I think wonderful things from, we're just going to focus on those three verses, the first three verses that we had read just a moment ago. Really, we hope and pray that God would open our eyes to see what's going on here. I think one of the most important things about Christianity, as there's a lot, if you say, what are the most important things about Christianity? A whole load of things could come to your mind. But I think one of the most important things about Christianity is simply this: knowing God personally. Knowing God personally. Not just knowing about him, but actually knowing him. And knowing that he knows you. And having this relationship, this very personal relationship with him. And it may sound and seem like a very, very obvious thing to say, but in actual fact, if you track and think about all the names of God in the Bible, They are remarkably personal. They are actually about relating to him. So God is our Father. God, the Son, is the Son who relates to the Father and actually teaches us and calls us brothers and sisters to relate to his Father and our Father as well. Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, that's remarkable, isn't it? God with you and me. Shepherd, the one who will lead and guide. And, you know, in the Old Testament times and running into the New Testament, the whole idea of a shepherd is the shepherd would have a strong and a personal relationship with the sheep. The sheep would know the shepherd's voice. It wasn't just someone who would rock up and, you know, with a dog and, well, even shepherds with dogs actually will know the sheep pretty well. The sheep will know the shepherd. Saviour, I am, that is Lord, all profoundly relational and personal, knowing God. And it is remarkably winsome. God himself is just simply winsome. Now, when we introduce people to one another, we introduce people by their names. And if you get introduced to God, and here is God, here is his name, it's automatically winsome, isn't it? Father. If that's the first time you hear that God's Father, surely the heart is going, well, maybe, just maybe, could he be my Father? Well, the answer is yes. We introduce him as Emmanuel, God with us. And straight away, it's winsome and attractive. And the encouragement is to be thinking, well, could he be with me? That sounds wonderful. Saviour. I mean, who here at moments in our lives, just on a surface level of stuff going wrong, doesn't think, well, actually there are moments when I know I need a Saviour. Seriously, it's a lot bigger than that. But perhaps maybe he will be my Saviour. God himself, by his very character and by his very names, is relational and straight away begins to win us into that personal relationship with him. Shepherd, will he guide me? Provide for me too? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And knowing God personally isn't just a possibility. It can be a reality for every single one of us. And in Jesus Christ, God has made himself personally known. And that's really a great summary of this first section of John's Gospel, the introduction to the book, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Jesus Christ was God coming into the world to introduce himself to us, to do that truthfully, to do it graciously, to do that remarkably lovingly. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God has introduced himself to the world personally and truthfully and lovingly and graciously. And our hearts ought to say, well, actually, I want to meet him. I want to know him. And that is the possibility for every single one of us in this room this evening. The opening words of John's Gospel, verses 1 to 5, look at them again. They are big, aren't they? It's about the universe, it's about the eternal, it's about creation. It's all great big God stuff. And then the three verses we were looking at reading just a moment ago, verses 6 to 8, are such a contrast. It's kind of like, Some sort of rips out that part of the book and slams in something else, which almost feels like it really doesn't have much to do with anything else that's going on. It's an absolute contrast. All of a sudden, there is a switch from the really big to the small, to the limited, to a creature, to a mortal man. In fact, that's exactly what it does do. Verse 6, there was a man. There was a man. And we come right into history. We come right into time, right into place, right into the knowable, right into the verifiable, the checkable, outable, if I could put it that way, because he's named. His name's John. Not John the author, but John the Baptist. Nevertheless, a man. There was a man. And these three verses, verses 6 to 8, they don't really seem to fit with the rest of 1 to 18, which are all about Jesus and big and grand and wonderful and vast. In fact, you could almost say we could flow straight from verse 5 to verse 9, and you don't really need to have verses 8, 6 to 8. What do they add? You know, at verse 5, the light shines in the darkness has not overcome it. Flip straight to the 9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. That's carrying on the same thread of thought actually from verse 5. The world actually wanting to put the light out. So why are these verses here? It is all very odd. Or maybe it isn't. Maybe it makes very good sense. And there are a few things that we need to be aware of. We'll come back to that in just a moment. They are about John the Baptist. And I've got three really simple things. So forgive me if you find it far too simplistic this evening. They're not simplistic. They're actually wonderful, though. These three staggering things, simple things about God, but they are really, you know, they come to us through understanding this man, John the Baptist. And they are three things that will help us to know God personally, and it will actually help us to help other people get to know God personally. So three things for us to know God personally, three things that will help us help others know God personally too. Number one, John the Baptist was God's servant. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God. God's servant sent by God. John the Baptist wasn't appointed by himself, nor did he take the initiative to volunteer his services. He was God's appointment. John the writer doesn't say much more about how he was appointed. If you want to read a little bit more about that, then you can go to one of the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and have a read there. The simple thing that John the writer wants us to understand about John the Baptist at this particular point is he was sent by God. It was God's appointment. God's chosen person for this particular situation and moment. God's servant, God sent. And we say, well, okay. We can see that very clearly indeed. But why highlight it? Why stress it? And how does that help with us getting to know God? Well, very simply this. The Bible makes this very, very clear. Jesus makes it very clear. John's Gospel makes it very clear. I can answer it by asking a number of questions. How does anybody ever understand God? How can we ever get to know him? What he's like? What he expects of us? See, can we do that by our own reason? Can we do it with our own imagination? Can we do it by experimentation? Can we do it by philosophy? Can we actually do it by religion? By searching and experimenting in some way, shape, or form? And the Bible, time and time again, basically clearly says, no. No. The Bible, time and time again, talks about us as human beings being blind, or us as human beings being spiritually dead, asleep. And how loud does the alarm have to be to wake a dead person? That's the statement of the Bible as to where we are. And the Bible, John, Jesus, basically say this. The only way that we can know God is when or because God himself takes the initiative to tell us about himself. He either comes himself in Jesus or he sends one of his servants, like John the Baptist, a sent servant with God's message. God has to be the one to reveal himself to us. Let me give you, again, a simple illustration, and Grant, my son-in-law, will have to forgive me for the illustration because it doesn't relate to him, but it relates to a little creature who is actually his namesake for whatever reason. I don't understand. My daughter Rebecca has a goldfish, and she has named her goldfish Grant. Yeah, I thought it was funny as well. There we are. And for a while, initially when Grant came to live with Bex, we kind of had fish TV every so often on our family WhatsApp. Well, the simple illustration is this. What really does Grant the goldfish know of Bex? If Grant the goldfish had the clearest thought ever as it headed to, you know, the bowl on one side looking at Bex, by the time it had done a little circle of its tank, whatever brainwave it had had, it would have forgotten. Expand that out. So the vast universe in which we live, and the God who created it, and we're on this little tiny weeny blue goldfish bowl. And we think our minds and understanding are big enough to grasp God. You know, Grant the goldfish doesn't actually know. I don't know, maybe his days are numbered because Bex actually is bored of him. And he doesn't know that as he swims around. We only know God when God sends a messenger with a clear message about himself to us. And we're dependent upon that. If we want to know God, then we need to listen to one of his sent servants, like John the Baptist. And you need to pick up, if you've never read this book that we're looking at here, this is a really nicely put together copy of John's Gospel, Uncover John. And we've got a number of them on the table over there. If you've never read it, pick it up and read it for yourself. Listen to the messenger. And I begun before praying for God to help us look at the Bible this evening. The reason why John wrote it, so that you may believe, so you can understand God. I dare you, if you've never read it, pick one of these up, take it with you, and start reading it this evening. That you must do. There is no other way to know God than what he reveals to us. So we do need to listen to him. And seriously, if we want others to know him too, there is no better thing to do than say, never mind what I say, read him for yourself. Seriously, would you read a little bit of the Bible for yourself? What an invitation that is. They can only say no. They may say yes, and that'd be brilliant. God's servant sent, secondly, with a single message. Look at that. I told you it was very simple indeed this evening. Look at verse 7 and follow along with me. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. And look on to verse 8. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And that's it. John the Baptist's simple message in a nutshell was Jesus is the light, the light. Jesus is the light of the world. John the Baptist was a witness who gave testimony to this. Now, often, and we had Wadu earlier on sharing what we might say her testimony or part of her testimony as to how she knows Jesus Christ. And we ought to do that as much as we can. Share with each other, tell each other our Christian stories, our testimonies. Be witnesses to one another about our Lord Jesus. And we should do that. But the original wording, understanding, I mean, it's obvious really, we still use the words these days in a court of law. Giving a testimony, giving standing and being a witness is about giving a testimony to what you know to be true, stating the facts as they are. And so John came as God's sent messenger to state the simple true fact that he knew to be true, that Jesus is the light of the world. There's a little bit more to add to his single message about Jesus. And look on at verse 19. this is the testimony of John. So we actually get to see a fuller witness testimony of John in verses 19 and following. And the context of those words, those verses, is this. Some religious leaders sent an inquiry down to ask John the Baptist who he is, who he was. John is very negative about, and very keen to stay who he isn't. Basically, he says, I'm not the Christ, verse 20. I'm not Elijah, verse 21. I'm not the prophet. It probably refers to Moses and some prophecies back in Deuteronomy 18. And he simply says, I'm just a voice. I'm not this great name. I'm not that great name. I'm not that great name. I'm just a voice. I am just a messenger, bringing the message. And so we find that John the Baptist does all he can to decline flattery. He turns down attention. He retreats from the limelight. He doesn't remain on center stage. The interesting thing is, he doesn't shuffle off and take Jesus over into a quiet corner over here. Interestingly enough, he himself, physically and in his preaching, stays center stage to make sure that his Lord stays center stage. And the way that he speaks is such that people know Jesus and know that he's just the messenger for Jesus. I'm just a voice to tell you, he says in verses 26 and 27. Just look at those with me. John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even whose comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Takes this absolute humble approach. And then two of the key things that he says about Jesus, the light of the world. One is there in verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the simple testimony of John. Jesus is the Lamb of God. That is, he is the one who's come to die on the cross so that you could be forgiven of all your sin. And then look at verse 33. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So the second great thing about Jesus, the light of the world, the first thing is the Lamb of God who has come to die like a sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of your sin. And the second thing is this. He is the one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and give you life. He's come to die to save you from hell and judgment and eternal death and to give you the Holy Spirit of God and give you life. He is the light of the world. He's come to bring salvation in those two magnificent and wonderful and beautiful ways of bringing God's mercy and kindness to us. That's his single message about Jesus. As we read on in John's Gospel, you'll find towards the back end of John's Gospel that Jesus gathers his followers around him and he basically commissions them. He actually breathes on them, as it were, breathing on them the Spirit of God, acting it out. And he basically commissions them to be his witnesses, to testify that he is the light of the world, to go into the world and say those two things. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He came to die that you might be forgiven from your sin. Receive from him the gift of the Holy Spirit that will give you life. Good life now, life right on into eternity. And it is all about Jesus. And we must do this. It's so easy for us to talk about all sorts of things as Christians. And we'll talk about church. We'll talk about Christian morality. We'll talk about religious stuff. We'll talk about our ethics. We'll talk about the activities that we're involved in. We might talk about the various mercy ministries that we might be involved with in the city, various projects we have. And those are good things to talk about. But seriously, we've got to talk about Jesus. That's our single message. That's the only thing really worth talking about. Salvation from sin and the gift of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you hesitate? Honestly, why do you hesitate? I know you do, because you're really no different to me. Why do I hesitate to speak about Jesus? I'd rather talk about all sorts of stuff. People, when they find out, you know, you're a church leader, all sorts of things will come to their mind. And you can, it's very easy to get all sorts of rabbits running, and you can take the conversation in all sorts of directions. What makes me hesitate? What makes you hesitate to speak plainly about Jesus? Well, sometimes we're waiting for an appropriate moment. And that's, you know, we want to be socially, aware. We don't want to be socially inept. That suddenly, you know, in the middle of the conversation, which might be about something entirely different over here, we suddenly go, oh, have you given any thought to your eternity recently? But it doesn't really work. So there's wisdom in these things. Don't hear me wrong. Timing and care and thought and wisdom. And often that comes with listening. Listening to where people are at. Having a conversation with people so that we know what it is that is on their hearts. We know facts about their life. Some of us were just hearing about having good conversations with people about Jesus. Understanding facts. Understanding their family. And then maybe beginning to think a little bit more about faith. I think if you're anything like me though, one of the main reasons why we hesitate to speak about Jesus is that we're afraid that they'll think we're stupid. Nowadays, actually, we're afraid that they might think we're a bigot. Because straight away, they will track to a number of areas where they're pretty sure that you will have a different set of morals to them. We fear what people will say to us or say of us. We fear what people will do to us. We need a John the Baptist recalibration. We need a recalibration based on verses 1 to 5. Jesus is the light of the world. He is God, and we are not. There was a man named Tim. That's where I come in. There was a man named Andrew. There was a woman named Connie. That's who we are. And it's not our job to be thinking, oh, what about my street cred? That's not John the Baptist. Is it? That's not the way our minds and hearts are calibrated when we know Jesus to be the light of the world. You know, I am not worthy to tie his laces. He's God. And my friends and my loved ones need him. So like John the Baptist, I won't usher off into the site here and be away from everyone else and hide away in a Christian clique or wherever that is. No, I will stay front and centre physically. But I'll do it in a way that Jesus is on the stage, not me. Just like John the Baptist. The sent servant with a single message about Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. We got one more point to come through, but at the end of that we're going to be singing the older hymn, Jesus, the name high over all. The last two verses are the reason for the choice of this song. Him, that is the Lord Jesus, as my righteousness I show. His saving faith proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name. Preach him to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. I want to say something personal here about a member of our church family, Gillian. She's in St. Luke's Hospice. And she is dying. And we don't know how many more days she has. But she speaks of Jesus so sweetly and so warmly to everyone around her. And there are people in this room who've been to visit her. And I know, your experience is the same as mine. You cannot leave without a real sense of knowing that she loves Jesus and wants everyone to know about Christ. She's handing out a different version of John's Gospel to various folks that are caring for her. So, what an example. There was a woman named Gillian. Put your own name in there. God's servant sent with a single message about Jesus with a clear goal. Third point, look at verse 7, that all may believe. I'm not a fisherman. I have friends who are fishermen. The main and clear goal of fishing is to catch fish. And I've heard fishermen friends talk about the one that got away. I don't think I've ever heard them talk about not catching anything, but there was a lot of interest from the fish today. You know, they don't come home happy with that. The point is to catch fish. And the clear goal of the message of Jesus Christ is that people believe in him. That people come to a decision about him, to the right conclusion about him, that they come to a verdict about Jesus being the light of the world, the light of life, that they come to a conclusion and say, yes, I have found that he is the Lamb of God who died upon the cross for my sin. I'm forgiven. And he's poured out his spirit into my heart. I'm alive. That's the point, is that people come to that conclusion. Absolutely wonderful. So how does belief come about? I'd like, if I may, just to very simply, and it won't be for very long, so to come back to the oddness of these verses. Why are they here? They don't seem to fit. Or do they? And what of the strangeness, actually, because there's another strange thing which I'll now add to the mix. It is actually just talking about light. That's an odd thing to do. If your aim is that people see the light, then why talk about it? Why not just shine the light? You know, why not just hold the torch up instead of trying to explain the concept of light to you? Just shine the light for folks to see. Well, you know, why? Well, of course, Jesus Christ is the light in the sense of not being a physical light seen with a physical eye, but he is the light of, putting it this way, spiritual glory, God's glory. And he's perceived and seen with a spiritual eye. And this light of Jesus shines, and this light of Jesus shines, according to John's Gospel, into a dark, dark world. A dark world that would rather put it out. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. So the light comes, shines, and the world doesn't want to know. In fact, the world will not see. So come back to the look at that phrase John the Baptist says to those who've come to do the investigation about who he is. Verse 26, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. You don't see him. He's among you, but you don't recognize him. You're blind to him. So how does a person see? How does a person believe? What lightens up such dark hearts? Well, there's a simple answer to that. Well, it's simply this. God has to do the miracle. Perhaps one of the greatest miracles. And that is to switch on the light of our understanding. In another part of the New Testament, we hear these words. It's a prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the early Christian leader Paul prays that the eyes of your hearts would be enlightened. See, if anyone's going to believe, and if we want to introduce our friends to this Jesus whom we share with them, we must pray. Pray, Lord, would you enlighten the heart of this friend of mine? Enlighten their heart. And if you are not yet someone who knows Jesus, you want to. You're not quite there yet. And you think, well, what's holding me back? What is it? Pray. Lord, would you open my eyes to see you? To behold wondrous things in your word about you. Secondly, we need to speak. We need to speak the word of truth. You see, in the Bible, God's word and God's light come together. It's right there in verses 1 to 5. The word of God is the light of God, the light of life. People know and see the light as the light is witnessed to. The spiritual light shines through our words. So just to keep your place here in John's Gospel chapter 1. And let me just show you something from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Some of you will already be ahead of me and know where I'm going. It's on page 1162. Someone else has got a slightly bigger version of the church Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Someone else shout out a page number when you get there. 965. Thanks, Steve. 965. Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, so 4 to 6. Just on a side here, if there's a part of the Bible you're finding difficult to get and understand, it's always helpful to think, actually, how else might other parts of the Bible shed light on this part of the Bible? And I think this is a really helpful few verses to look at. In actual fact, oddly enough, I don't think it's intentional, but in actual fact, there's a similar pattern to John chapter 1 as well. I think it's a real secondary point, but there's a remarkably similar pattern going on. Verse 4, in their case, this is those whose eyes are blind, who do not understand Jesus, who have not yet received the forgiveness of their sins, not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says this, in their case, the God of this world, Satan, the evil one, has blinded the mind of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the light of the world, who is the image of God. For we proclaim, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See what's going on? Verse 4, darkness, blindness. Verse 6, the light shines out of the darkness into the hearts, giving the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus. And how does that happen? By verse 5, when we proclaim, like John the Baptist, not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And as we are his servants, like John the Baptist, we proclaim the truth of Jesus. Then the light shines. See that? So the light shines through a witness. When the witness like John the Baptist spoke then about Jesus' death on the cross and him being the one who baptizes with the Spirit, then the light shines. And that is how the light of Jesus Christ shines today in the world. So come back to John chapter 1. There is a remarkable similarity here. Verse 5 speaks of darkness. Verse 9 and 10 speaks of darkness. And verse 6 to 8, you've got a little voice shouting out, Jesus is the light of the world. It's the way God does it. He sends his messenger. And if we read on in our Bibles, we come across someone like Lydia. She's the first European convert, Acts chapter 16. And we read that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And if we read through the rest of John's Gospel, we get to chapter 9 and we'll find a great long story about a young guy who is born blind and he could not see. And it's a story of physical sight being given back to him, but it's a picture of spiritual sight too. And there's a point when he's being interrogated by the religious rulers who don't understand what's going on. And in a sense, he doesn't quite get what's going on, but he knows that he can now see. And he simply says this, "This I know, I was blind, but now I see." And Jesus had healed him. So let me conclude. Knowing God personally, in our hearts and in our lives, can be a reality. And it is only through Jesus Christ and only by receiving his message through his messengers. So it may well be this evening, first thing you might want to do if this is you, don't walk out without this. If you want to find out more, keep reading and finding out about Jesus and from the messenger, from John's Gospel itself. Secondly, it may well be that the Lord has been speaking to you. And you can honestly say, and you might not have put it this way before coming this evening, you can honestly say that as I've begun to understand what this means, the light is shining. I'm beginning to see. I want to see. In fact, I do see. And maybe tonight's the night for you. The light goes on. And here's a prayer for you to pray. Dear God, please open my eyes, the eyes of my heart, to see Jesus fully. His light has shone as I've heard him being spoken about. I thank you that he is the Lamb of God who died to take away my sin. He's brought me forgiveness. And tonight I want to be receiving the gift, the baptism of your Holy Spirit to give me life. Something like that. Simply pray it now. Pray it this evening and receive Jesus as your light and as your life. And for others of us, well, if you've just prayed that prayer and tonight you've become a Christian, this is for you too. Isn't it true that when we understand Jesus here and we actually understand the appropriate, if you want to understand how you respond to the Jesus of verses 1 to 5, John the Baptist, that's how you do awe. That's how you do humility. Isn't there a sense of saying, well, actually, Lord, as I go out into work next week to teach maths at the uni or to be a student at the uni, whichever one it is, or to go to work wherever that is, I can't wait. I can't wait for the first opportunity. And please would you give me an opportunity to simply open my mouth and speak of Jesus. Help me to speak of him humbly and graciously and winsomely because he's wonderful. And please would you use my words to shine your light to other people this week. Isn't that, your heart wants to do that, doesn't it? You want to say, oh no, I'm going to be a misery guts this week. I don't want that. That's where we all are, isn't it? And I can't see the Lord saying, oh, I'm not going to answer that one this week. Of course he wants to answer that one for us. We're going to sing that song.